What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon in the District of Columbia. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. We are fired up to get our boy Aaron Schatz on the line, the chief analytics officer over at FTN Fantasy. You can follow FTN Fantasy, of course, the creator of DVOA. Dude, Aaron, before we get into the Commanders, what they've accomplished, what they could accomplish next week, I wanted to start with, I feel like at one point, halfway through the year or so, the Vikings DVOA was really starting to come into question. And then we saw last night that they got clearly run through by the Rams. Did that surprise you, that result last night?
I was surprised that it was such a big result. Like, I thought the game would be closer. The Vikings defense was not as good in the second half of the season as it was in the first half, but their offense actually was a little bit better until the last 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden – Darnold just could not get rid of the ball and just kept taking sacks, and it was terrible.
We saw that last night, man. We sure saw that last night. If you were running Minnesota, how would you handle this Darnold get back to McCarthy thing?
2 weeks ago, I would have said you have to franchise Darnold and then have the two of them compete in camp and hope that McCarthy wins the job, and then you only have to pay Darnold for 1 year. Now I think you let Darnold leave after what we've seen the last couple of games, and you give the job to McCarthy, and you have Daniel Jones as your veteran backup.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I think that's the right.
He messed up some money, man.
Yeah, he did.
Last night I was like, I'm yelling at the TV, man, throw the damn ball. My daughter was like, Dad, what's wrong with you? He would not let the ball go.
He would not. It was the clock in his head was broken, broken, broken.
All right, let's turn to the Commanders, Aaron. I'm curious kind of what you've thought of them all year, and then to go down to Tampa, get the win against the Bucs, kind of snap this playoff win drought in Washington. Just, you know, what do your eyes tell you? What do the numbers tell you? How good is this Washington team?
I mean, it's really exciting. It's a wonderful story. Daniels has been fantastic. The offense has been very good, and the defense has not. There are a couple of players on the defense who are, you know, very good and talented. Certainly the guys on the defensive line, and I mean, Luvu was fantastic this year, and Wagner. But there's problems in the secondary, and that leads to, you know, the defense being below average, and that's their problem. The problem is they're kind of a one-sided team.
Like, I noticed in our game, like, I see that with the defense, but in the second half of games, they make adjustments and they stop teams. Saquon Barkley, 109 yards in the first quarter, 41 the rest of the game. What do they need to do to try and get to that point earlier instead of later?
I don't know. You know, watch a lot of film, obviously. You know, try to figure out what Ben Johnson's going to do with that Detroit offense. The Detroit offense is fantastic. Their running game in particular is incredibly efficient. Jahmyr Gibbs had a fantastic season. So, you know, you look at the Detroit defense and the Washington offense, and you're like, that's pretty equal. Washington can really keep up there. But when you look on the other side of the ball, it's just problematic. I also think after watching the playoff game, you have to wonder, is Lattimore really fully healthy, or is he playing hurt? Because that was not the same Marshon Lattimore we usually see out there.
Lattimore, you know, at the end of that game, though, as good as Evans was early, I think he only finished with 90 yards. I think he was at like 65 at the end of the first quarter. Or at the end of the first half.
That's still
anyway.
A lot more than he usually gets against Lattimore. That was not, sure. That performance was not like before he came to Washington, before the hamstring injuries, like Lattimore was really good this year and he was definitely off in that game. And so I'm not like trying to disparage him. I'm saying I don't know if he's fully healthy yet.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It's interesting going into this matchup. You know, specific in Tampa, I thought Washington did an excellent job of controlling the clock kind of through the air, which is hard to do. Detroit's another team that likes to control the clock. How does Washington specifically attack this Lions defense that definitely has some holes?
I mean, it has holes because of the injuries. And I think, start with a lot of Terry McLaurin because their top cornerback, Carlton Davis, is out. Anzalone in the middle helps solve a lot of things, certainly like run defense. But I think they'll be able to find McLaurin. I think they'll be able to find Diami Brown. There's a pass rush, definitely, you know, Za'Darius Smith, but the pass rush is not as good as it was certainly when Hutchinson was healthy. It's a pretty even matchup.
What is an even matchup? Just the kind of the Commanders passing attack?
The Commanders offense
Lions.
Against the Lions defense. That's a pretty even matchup.
Okay. Then let's flip that over, and I fear the answer here. Talking with our friend Aaron Schatz from FTN Fantasy. You can give him a follow at ASchatzNFL, S-C-H-A-T-Z. What do you make of the Lions' offense and the Commanders' defensive matchup?
Yeah, that's just not a good one for the Commanders, but especially the run. The Commanders were 26th in run defense by DVOA, and the Lions were number 2 in running offense. So you talk about wanting to control the clock and what they're able to do with Gibbs and with the offensive lot, especially Penei Sewell. It's sort of an offense that's built around the right tackle, which is sort of interesting. They should be able to run the ball on the Commanders, which puts Goff in good down and distance situations, which gets the ball downfield, which scores points.
And Matt, when you go into these games, I understand how Detroit runs the football very effectively. But I also watch games a lot, and I look at an offense like the Commanders. When they get those 9-minute, 8-minute drives, when that offensive coordinator gets the ball, he doesn't constantly stick to the run. Do you ever notice that a team that can have those long, sustained drives, get a touchdown at the end, it adjusts what a team likes to do and make them become more one-dimensional?
I mean, it definitely I actually just did some research for the NFL's Big Data Bowl, and we looked at run-pass ratios, and what you have success with early in the game definitely changes what you want to do later in the game. If your running game is working, you tend to run more. If your passing game is working, you tend to pass more.
Sure. I think you ride the horse to get you there, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it sounds like so stupid and blatant, but at least, you know, it's nice that the numbers show it's true.
One thing I'm curious about, and I don't know what, if any, your research will show versus just watching the games. What do you make of, I mean, it's now 5 games in a row, and throughout the season, Washington's ability to win late. How can you quantify that into a way that makes you look ahead?
I mean, I think some of it is your expectations of rookies are that they're going to panic a little bit in those situations, and Daniels hasn't. I have different feelings about clutchness than other people do. A lot of people believe there are certain players who are special because they are clutch. I think that most professional athletes are pretty clutch, but there are certain players who are special because they're not. And those players are not playing for the Washington Commanders right now.
The ones that are not clutch.
Yeah. They've got some clutch dudes. I mean, Daniels is nails. I mean, it's fantastic. The other thing I'm going to point out, by the way, from an analytics point of view, is how much we love Dan Quinn being aggressive on fourth downs against Dan Campbell, who's aggressive on fourth downs. Watching these two guys try to out-aggressive each other, you know, defensive-minded, kneecap-biting coaches who are also smart analytically is just great stuff.
Yeah, this game. I mean, specifically going into this game, it's
we have no punts the whole game.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, you got a good punter too. Didn't even use him.
Right. I want to ask you about the rest of the games this weekend. But going into this weekend, knowing what Detroit is and what Washington is too, it seems like you kind of expect Detroit to win, but wouldn't close the door on Washington. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, that sounds fair. It's certainly not like a dramatic, dominant, like it's absurd to think that Washington would win kind of situation. You could definitely tell the narrative. I mean, the narrative of Washington's win starts with that as great as the Lions defense was against Minnesota, that they still have a lot of defensive injuries, and the defense kind of reverts to what it was more over the last few weeks, and Washington scores a lot on them. That's really where you start the story of how Washington wins this game.
Detroit is a team that Jared Goff has had a good year. He can throw the football very well, but they depend on their run. If Washington happens to put scores up on the board, I think that's their best chance because now they get away from what they like to do in running the ball, and they just begin to throw it all the time, which in essence give them a chance to get some turnovers.
Yeah, especially because if you can pin your ears back and rush Goff, I mean, we all know Goff is not a creator out of structure. Goff is awesome in structure, but he's not a creator out of structure. So you want to get the pressure on it.
Yeah, for sure. Let's zoom out to the rest of the weekend, talking with Aaron Schatz here. Two guys that could create in or out of structure, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, to get this Ravens-Bills divisional round matchup. Seems like it could be a pretty epic game. Baltimore is actually favored on the road in Buffalo. What do you make of this game? What does kind of your math tell us?
Yeah, I mean, Baltimore is one of the best teams of all time by my numbers. Their offense has been one of the best, most efficient offenses of all time. I mean, you don't even need advanced stats for that. They're the number three team in NFL history in yards per play. And their defense has improved dramatically since week 11 when they moved Kyle Hamilton back to safety and sat Eddie Jackson and Marcus Williams. So they are a really great all-around team right now, except for some reason special teams, which is usually a highlight of the Ravens. But the Bills are a really good all-around team too. The Bills' defense is not as good as what the Ravens' defense has been, but the Bills also have guys back from injury now, like Matt Milano is back now and Taron Johnson is back now. So, I mean, this is definitely one of those, like, last quarterback with the ball wins the game, kind of going to be one of those crazy epics.
Will that be enough to combat that offense, that run offense of Baltimore?
Man, Buffalo hopes so. Buffalo's run defense is better by my metrics than the Bills fans think it is, but it's not anywhere near as good as what the Ravens running game is. And of course, you know, Jackson makes holes for Henry and Henry makes holes for Jackson. Like it works in tandem.
Certainly. That game should be fun to watch. Let's start Saturday afternoon, though. Another Saturday afternoon with Houston playing playoff football. Houston going to Kansas City. The Chiefs coming off the bye. You see a path for the Texans getting that upset?
Sure, if they can play defense like they did this week. I mean, but I don't think it's likely. I mean, the Chiefs were the better team during the regular season, and the Chiefs have whatever, you know, hey, they hold things back in the regular season and then they turn it on in the playoffs, you know, whatever that is, they've got going for them. And they've got the whole Andy Reid the week after a bye thing going for them. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes' magic if the game is close in the fourth quarter is going for them. I think the Texans are the least likely of the road teams to win this weekend.
I tend to agree with you there. What about Rams-Eagles, dude? I mean, that could be a pretty... The Rams looked pretty damn good last night. They got a lot going on, but they looked pretty damn good last night.
Oh, man, if you like trench play, that young Rams defensive line against the great Eagles offensive line is going to be a just amazingly good, interesting, fun matchup. The Rams are coming on, but the Eagles are the hottest team in the NFC over the last few weeks if you take out the backup quarterback. right? Like Jalen Hurts was out three games and the offense wasn't as good. And but now he's back and the offense is better. And I think their passing game is better than people give them credit for. The running game is obviously great. The defense is the best in the league. But the Rams are coming on. This certainly is a closer game than it looked like before what the Rams did last night. So I think the Eagles should be favored, but it's closer than – certainly closer than Texans-Chiefs, that's for sure.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Aaron, the other thing going on, obviously, across the NFL – is the coaching searches and some of the names you hear and what the hell's going on in Dallas. What do you make of Deion's name being linked to that Cowboys job?
Oh, God, so frustrating. It seems like just searching for headlines instead of searching for playoff wins. If you think about what Deion Sanders brings as a coach, I would think that his biggest strength is recruiting. Right? He is a very forceful personality, and he has influenced many good players, obviously Travis Hunter being the most important one, to play for him instead of playing at larger programs. Guess what? You don't get to do that in the NFL. Like, maybe he can recruit a free agent or two veterans, but, you know, rookies, you don't get to recruit them based on the force of your personality. So you can just take the best part of Deion Sanders as a coach and just get rid of it. In which case, what's the freaking point?
Who do you think the best coach available is?
Or Ben Johnson.
Do you?
I mean, listen, head coach is a different job than coordinator. And you don't know if a guy can do the CEO parts of that head coaching job until he does it. But as far as which coordinators are, like, most deserving of a shot to move up to that next level, Ben Johnson.
I agree with that. That offense has been fantastic and creative and uses so many different weapons.
Suppose he's a North Turner, though. A guy who's unbelievable.
Right, that's right. You don't know.
He's an awful head coach. Turner.
Aaron Glenn could be Wade Phillips. You don't know whether guys translate from coordinator to head coach, man. It's hard.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think of the job Cliff Kingsbury's done here in D.C. and kind of what, if anything, happens for him?
Surprising, because I think we all expected that Cliff Kingsbury fall off in the second half thing to happen, and it kind of did for a little while, but then their offense got back on track, and I think that that has more to do with Jaden Daniels' ribs than it does with Kingsbury. So he's an interesting candidate. I would shy away from him, and I would probably go towards someone newer, like a Johnson or a Glenn, but I understand why teams would want to talk to him.
Yeah, I mean, I think – do you think the success of Dan Quinn here in Washington will kind of change the thought around hiring a guy for a second gig?
Well, I mean, there have been lots of guys who've been hired for second gigs and been good. I mean, Belichick is the greatest example, right?
Sure.
So,
but it seems like people wanted to get away from that, and now – just looking at the hiring, the interview cycle, Vrabel's the first dude to get a job. That's a second gig. Seems like McCarthy's going to get one somewhere. It feels a little different.
I think what the Quinn thing helps teach, and this is sort of going against my Ben Johnson excitement, but you can bring in a defensive mind, and if the offensive coordinator is good, you'll still have that offensive intelligence, and the defensive that head coach is the CEO who overlooks the whole program, and he puts the character and he puts the culture into place. So you don't need to shy away from defensive coaches. I think that, like, Aaron Glenn getting interviews is in part because Dan Quinn has been successful this year, and you feel like you don't necessarily need the hot offensive mind. You can get a hot defensive mind too.
I agree with that, and I think for the Jets, considering the success he had as a player there, that feels like it could be a really cool hire. I don't know that anything's ever going to work with the Jets, but I feel like that could be a cool hire.
Right. Sometimes ownership is the problem, but yeah, I mean, he'd be an interesting guy.
Hey, man, we work in Washington. We know that. Aaron, thank you for the time, bro. Enjoy the playoffs.
All right, guys, ftnfantasy.com. Come check it out.
Gotcha, brother.
Aaron Schatz, FTNFantasy.com. You can give him a follow at A Schatz, S-C-H-A-T-Z-N-F-L.
All right, B-Mitch. B-Mitch here for B-Mitch in Finley, 106.7 The Fan. And let's just hit this real quick. The B-Mitch in Finley show is brought to you by Rude HVAC Equipment. Head over to Rude.com, find a contractor near you, and available tax credits and rebates. We're talking about R-U-U-D. And remember, if it ain't rude, it ain't right. Dan Quinn will be talking to the media in just a little bit, as he does every Wednesday, but it's Tuesday this week. We're playing on Saturday, so everything moved up 1 week. It's going to be a tough game. You know, everybody's sitting here and acting like, you know, the team has gotten to a point where they automatically going to step out there and win. But I also believe that there is a chance. I don't think that the Detroit Lions are that good to where you're going to believe that there's absolutely no chance. They run the football very effectively. Jared Goff, a guy on the football team that I believe doesn't get the credit he deserves because he can actually play football. But still, they have been beaten by teams this year, and I think they can be beat again. But it would have to be a game where Washington plays basically mistake-free football. As I look for every year, I look for the team to play those type of football games where they are going out there with all three phases played unbelievable. Offense, defense, special teams. I know a lot of people like to forget about special teams, but special teams is obviously very, very serious to me. You know, I believe that you could change a whole damn game. You can bring momentum to your team and help them out. Yes, the ball was pushed the other day, but it went through the uprights, and that's why we won the football game. So if we can go out there and play a game like that where all three phases comes in and play what we're capable of playing, we can give them problems. We have long, sustained drives offensively, which gives us the ball and make an offensive team that we play against become very one-dimensional. And if they become one-dimensional, it makes the chance of the defense playing better even more serious. All right, let's go out to Washington right now to the Commanders Park and check out Dan Quinn talking to the media.
To see you guys. From a team standpoint, we'll function like today's Wednesday and going right through kind of our process of leading up into the game. So that's what we're kind of dialed in and focused on this week. And much like last game, I told you we'll play our best complementary game all year, offensively, defensively, and special teams. And Detroit in this game calls for that again. And so we're working hard on all those things from, you know, our field position stuff, our winning time moments, just all of it. So ready to get rocking. We have a couple guys that will be on normal rest day. You see the injury report today. It'll be JC, Zach, Klee, and Dante. So with all that said, get rocking with you guys.
I'm curious your thoughts on Dan Campbell, what he's done in Detroit. And I know you have your own style, but is there anything you even looked at how he helped turn around that franchise and incorporated for yourself?
Well, one, I think he's done a fantastic job. And so just you see the play style and then identity. And those are the things as a coach, John, that you're really, you know, want to make sure that it's rock solid and crystal clear. And so, yeah, we've certainly followed him. And also having Lance here, who came from Detroit, you know, give insights onto how things turn and why. And so, yeah, it was all really beneficial.
And then with guys like Zach and Bobby, has their impact maybe been even more than you anticipated, if that's possible?
It is possible, because I never wanted the pressure on them to be anything more than ball player first. Neither of them were brought here to coach. I knew they had very high standards, John, really high. And I thought that alone is a standard of what excellence and winning can look like. And I thought that alone is important if you're trying to, you know, do something together in that fashion. Look to those examples first.
The Lions are known for their aggressiveness on going on fourth down. You guys have obviously been doing it a lot, the most efficient team in the league. Is it, how wild of a difference is that from when you first got into the league and how teams treat fourth down?
Yeah, it's definitely different, and it has to do a lot with your team, too, in terms of how you play. But, yeah, we had known that, you know, from an efficiency standpoint, you know, they're excellent at it, we're excellent at it. So, obviously, you know, big parts of the game to go through it. So it has changed a lot, Ben. You're right to know that you know, maybe a model at one time has changed. And that's kind of like one of the cool parts about football, man, where things evolve and change and going. And so you want to be bold without being reckless and finding the right spaces, what the opponent does, what you guys do. So it's not one size fits all, but, you know, where are you at in the game? What do you need? So it's definitely, you know, moved from middle of it to, you know, near the top of the game making, you know, game decisions.
The last five games, as you guys have won on the last play from scrimmage, I know everyone's different. Every moment was different. But generally, what is that feeling for you on the sidelines when it comes down to that very last second? I mean, are you calm after five of these, or like, what is just?
No, it's awesome. It's like the best part of coaching, because it's like right with everything on the line, and it's my most favorite part of it all. Like being like as fun as it gets, and so they don't always work out in your favor, but. Just being in that arena and that type of competitive, man, like you cannot feel more alive than in that spot. When the anticipation and the competitiveness is that high, it's really cool.
And then totally different, David Blau. When did you know he was ready to transition to coaching, and what intrigued you about bringing him here?
I didn't know that he was. So some of the guys that had connections to him previously, Lance had Cliff had, and so when I got a chance to visit with him, he came, you know, on a recruiting trip here, and I can remember, you know, walking around the field with him, and you know, saying, "Hey, I really want to be the one that can help start this for you, and we're not going to miss one step of your trajectory as a coach and what that would look like, how you'd have his impact here, how that would be felt." And he's going to be a fantastic coach. But I just wanted to clearly lay out to him what it would look like, you know, from a coaching side. And I wanted to be, a real part of that.
What stands out to you about Detroit's defense?
Lots of man-to-man, aggressive, and I think the third downs, with Aaron and their crew has been really rock solid and strong. But those would be some things that stand out to me of things that they're excellent at.
How much has Dave Gardy been a part of preparing you guys for these winning time moments, these situational
things? A lot. And so Dave presents to the team every Friday, and then we get together on Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, he and I, and then we get together with a group of coaches on Saturdays. And we go from around the league, trends, officiating. And so to have somebody that's that up to speed from officiating to rules to, things that happen in every game, you can imagine how hard that would be to look, okay, let me see this game and then this game. So he gets to go through every game, give me the Cliff Notes version of all the situations that come up. And so it's a lot, but it's a really cool process to go through together. He's been really influential, here, and to have somebody with his poise and demeanor in the moments is important too.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach.
Good afternoon.
With these postseason mixed officiating crews, how much is emphasized on where they all come from and their trends, and how much is really led by that referee?
A little bit of both. What do I mean by that? If a deep wing has a certain amount of holding and they were, first in the league, that would be something that we would, talk about. Is the referee, what's the communication like? Because I don't know if they would influence as much of the crew, but how do they manage the game? What does that go through? And so we do look at the individual the individual officials, and is there anything that's a marker higher or lower for their position? And then we start from there.
What do you find there? How much does that impact the week's messaging versus, we always want to be clean anyway, so doing it right up front?
I think it's probably just the second part that you said, we want to be clean anyway, and here's an extra emphasis. And so you don't make it in every single category, but if somebody had something that was significant in one area, then that's mess around. Like, you also say that too. So you just dig in and find out, what are some of the trends that people call, and make sure that's emphasized in our meetings too. We just want to make sure we're finding every margin that we can and just absolutely going for it. And so whether that's on officiating, offense, defense, special teams, our winning time, the complimentary stuff, like the best part of our team is the whole team and all the moments that we spend together doing things. That's who we are.
Obviously some deep playoff runs when you were in Atlanta. You talked a lot throughout the year about how you've looked at your time there and maybe changed or evolved. Has anything changed how you approach the playoff run from those times?
Yeah, for sure. And we were talking about like Dave's role, you know, being a significant part of that. And going back to Ben's point, like in 10 years, a lot has changed in terms of how we go about things to do that. But yeah, I certainly learned a lot going through that process, learning it and saying, okay, this would be some things that I would do different. Those changes have, they began in the off season. You know, the amount of times I've spent in certain spots. But as far as playoffs go, every game's a championship game. And that's what makes it so much fun, because you can't place one versus the other. Man, like for us, all there is Saturday night. Like that's all, you know, it's just that. And so it's not down the line or down the road. And so being in that fight Saturday night, we've earned it, but that's the only fight we're in. So like we're going after it as hard as we can.
Sam Cosmi, 4 years here. He told me in the locker room the other night, he was trying to explain the success of this team. And he said, it's the culture that's been built. He's been through some low times. But the fact that I'm playing for someone else other than myself matters more.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to build here. And when you hear that, how does that hit you?
Yeah, that's awesome to hear, because it is about the connection, Chick. And if the connection is stronger, the commitment is also stronger. And so when he and his teammates are that connected to one another, like, man, I'm not going to let you down. I'm absolutely going to take the extra step, go the extra mile, all of the things that you do that. And if you're kind of on the fringe, and you know, neighborhood to brotherhood, there's a big difference. And neighborhood, how you doing? Okay, good. Nice to see you. And you keep on walking. Brotherhood, you don't do that, you know? And so, you know, the fact that he recognizes that connection, that's a big deal.
Coach, Gio Delfa with NBC and Telemundo. It's evident how you can practice play calling or techniques, but how do you implement that clutch DNA that the Commanders just seem to have to keep pulling off those last-minute wins?
Yeah, those are in that poise, I think, is probably what you're referring to. And poise is, you know, you have to go through, you know, the difficult ones. You got to go through the good ones. But you do have to put yourself and assert yourself into those spots. We do practice it. You're exactly right about that. But you also have to be in real fights and really close games and, you know, get your heart broken a little bit, you know, on some ones that don't quite go all right. But knowing that you're down for that again and again, you do get stronger. You do get more poise. But you do have to live through them. And that's why when they talk about experience or playoff experience, those things matter, because you've been through enough fights.
Time for three more. Dan, how have the Lions kind of backfilled to deal with all the injuries that they've had second half of the season?
Yeah. Can you put the first part, Dave?
They backfilled.
Yes.
In terms of personnel.
Yeah, sure. It's really a remarkable job, I thought, by Aaron and their defensive staff. It's not an easy thing to do, but one thing that has really I've respected is, so many times when you see a team have injuries, they change to play differently or let's play more of this, which they never did. This is how we get down. And I thought, what a great message by Aaron to say, this is who we play, and they weren't going to let one set of circumstances take them out of that. And so I thought there's some boldness and confidence that goes with that. And so I think it's a great lesson.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. You just heard from Dan Quinn. That's a dude that's pretty locked in, I'd say. I think DQ has kind of hit all the right notes all along. Willie Nelson, I can't imagine it's that Willie Nelson. It doesn't think Dan liked one of the questions. DQ is one of the, I'd say, savviest, easygoing guys in pressers. I don't think he gets high or low. I don't really think he's been pissed off once this year. He does have them practicing outside. I imagine some players saw that schedule on the whatever you call it, LED board when they got there. We're like, damn, why? Especially knowing they're playing indoors this week. I was a little surprised by that. I did get a question on Twitter that I wanted to mention. This is Michael Steele, who I believe was a former lieutenant governor of Maryland. He's on MSNBC and all sorts of stuff. I think he's a big Skins fan. He just asked me a question, and I think we can talk about this, you know, as it becomes more relevant in a week or two or whatever, whenever that occurs. But Mike Steele asked me, hey, JP, given that teams are now looking to grab up Commanders coaches, We know the Kingsbury and Witt are going to get interviews, right? So they're at least targeted. There's at least some teams targeting them. Who are and what is the quality of the potential replacements? And I've actually been thinking about this, and I think this to me is pretty clear. If you look at Washington's staff, they've built a really big staff from a coaching roster standpoint. Like they have – Cliff Kingsbury is your offensive coordinator, right? But then they have a passing game coordinator in Brian Johnson. They have a running game coordinator in Anthony Lynn. Those, a lot of those guys are assistant head coaches also. If you've also got a guy like Dave Gardy, whose title is VP of Football Initiatives. You just heard Cliff talk about him. And I'm sorry, you just heard DQ talk about him. I think two things are true. Let's say Cliff gets a job, or let's say Joe Witt gets a job. On the defensive side of the ball, they have a defensive passing game coordinator in Jason Simmons. They have a lot of options, a lot of experience. There's a lot of talk about David Blau. There's a lot of talk about David Rye. Like, let's say Cliff gets a job. I think you could probably roll into something with where Brian Johnson becomes your coordinator and your play caller. And one huge difference, I think, going back to the Atlanta days for Dan Quinn is when Kyle got the job in San Fran, DQ, I don't know the specifics, and maybe someday we can examine this closer after the season, but Kyle took most of that offensive staff with him to San Fran.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, I would imagine, probably learned something from that. And if a similar scenario starts to unfold, DQ can block some of those moves, or he could promote internally to keep guys here. And I just think when you've seen what you saw in Atlanta was so severe that I think a lot of NFL teams have kind of learned from that and changed. And I wouldn't expect to see this great exodus here. That doesn't mean, you know, if Cliff got the gig, he wouldn't want to bring some folks with him. But you've got in Brian Johnson and in Anthony Lynn, a former head coach and a former OC play caller. Like, I just think they're built differently. And on some level, Dan Quinn does all the research. Like, he's clearly so thoughtful and thorough. He's acutely aware back in August that he might lose Cliff in a year or two. Like, there's no surprises, right? When you listen to Joe Witt talk enough, it's pretty obvious that it's possible that dude could become a head coach someday. He's just that impressive of a person. I think specifically with Witt, you'd have to have some level of – I'd be really curious if Mike McCarthy got a head coaching job and Joe Witt could get that coordinator job and maybe an assistant head coach title. I think that'd be interesting. McCarthy and Witt go way back. And it's similar to Matt LaFleur, right? When Sean got the job in L.A., Matt went with him as his O.C.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually Matt had to leave, go on his own to be an O.C. where he was the play caller and not coaching for an offensive guy, right? And he went to Tennessee and it went well, and then he got the Packers head job. As long as Witt is running the defense here, where everybody thinks Dan Quinn is running the defense, he might have to go show he can do it on his own. McCarthy's clearly an offensive guy. Like, that is something that I could see. Another thing that I think is at least worth being on people's radar, and these are problems for down the road, but Larry Izzo has done really well here as special teams coordinator. Now, he just signed a contract, so he's probably under contract for two or three more years.
Mm-hmm.
But he and Vrabel go way back.
Way back.
You know, they won Super Bowls together in New England. Vrabel could give him an assistant head coach title and special teams coordinator. Then that would be a promotion. Like, there's going to be moving parts. There's moving parts on every staff every year. Success breeds people looking at your coaches. These are good problems to have. And I think if we've learned anything, they've got the infrastructure to figure it out. They've figured a lot out in year one. Let them keep building.
Oh, yeah.